Today is April 21st, 2024. This is Mobile Views Podcast 507, if I didn't know this one. I'm Todd Agasa-Ward, my good friend, the good Dr. John Westfall, and our other good friend, Sven Johansson, who a moment ago had a cowboy hat and a beard and stuff. We're playing the Google Meets effects. And I should note that, once again, we're using Google Meet to record this podcast, audio, and maybe a touch of video if there's anything we want to post a video segment. So far, it's working pretty good. Sven, did you have any problems joining this call?
No, this is very easy. Just click your join, and I was here for a while and just waiting for you to come on.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. No, I just did it early to make sure I didn't have to go.
Browser
or something else. Planning.
Yeah. But yeah, so far I think this is the easiest podcast recording, joining and recording tool we've used. I mean, we've used a lot. We use Skype, we use Zoom a couple of times, use Meet, Microsoft Teams, I should say.
Teams.
A lot. I'm trying to think if we used anything else. And I think we tried a couple of other things that didn't work.
Yeah,
and I've even done one recent podcast with a longtime acquaintance of mine who we just couldn't sync up because he had, like I was telling John the other day, he had the enterprise Google Microsoft Teams and I had the personal, and you know, one can invite the other, but I can't invite enterprise user. So but at any rate, I ended up recording him off the speakers of my phone.
And for reference, I'm using Microsoft Edge and John's using Safari. And Todd, I'm using
Chrome.
And you're using Chrome.
Yeah.
And the only thing we've seen so far is some of the effects don't work with Safari. But
Safari, right.
So we need a Firefox user and Internet Explorer 6 user just to round
and
out everything.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, there's lots of other things we can see if it messes it up. I mean, you know, DuckDuckGo and a few other things like that. But anyhow, so here we are using Google Meet, and I've got a buzzing in my right ear because I think my AirPods Pro is going bad. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but we'll see. And I got to say, I think the audio quality on this is not as good as, say, Microsoft Teams plus Adobe Podcast Enhance, or as good as even just Adobe Podcast Studio. But we've had so many problems with both of those platforms. Microsoft Teams, in terms of people not being able to, you know, log in and use it with us. And Adobe Podcast Studio, which is great in its own way, but it just flakes out. I love the audio quality, though. It's just, audio quality is great. And it's like so great. I spent my $100 a year to get Adobe Express Premium just to get the enhanced part. So if I feel like, you know, one of the podcasts, or if I do in-person podcasts, I always have to clean up the audio. And so I paid my $100 a year just for that. Anywho, Google Meet. Thank you, Google. And although I did have to upgrade to the 2 terabyte Google One to get access to this, but that's okay. I needed extra storage. Anyway, speaking of Google One, so Google One is making some changes. They're taking away some features, which is annoying. John and I were discussing that they're taking away the Google One VPN soon. I don't know when, but soon. And I actually used that one. Go ahead.
It just says later this year. But it does say if you're a Pixel user, you can keep it.
Yeah. So, but I use it like when I'm on an iPhone, like, you know, in a supermarket and stuff with, you know, because I go to exciting places like supermarkets that have Wi-Fi. But anyway, so they're saying starting next month, May 15th, that Google Photos features like Magic Eraser and Portrait Light are going to be available to non-Pixel 8 users. Because as a Pixel 7a owner, I don't have access to some of the features. I mean, I have Magic Eraser, but a few things I don't have. And those are going to be available to, I guess, any Google Photos user. And it'll be available on the tablet, which is not currently available. So a Magic Editor is going to be available starting in May to all Pixel users, not just 8 and 8 Pro users. Did you get an 8 or 8 Pro, Sven?
I did not. I have not. I get when I get the Fold, I kind of figured I'm going to use that for a while.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And my wife has a 7, but the only reason she got that is so she'd have something with a USB-C connector on the bottom. So she'd have, her diabetes connects to that. And so she had a kind of a pair of phones that she could use in case one of them didn't work right.
Yeah.
Now it's got USB-C on her iPhone, so.
And that makes so much of a difference, isn't it? I mean, I'm glad the EU forced Apple to go to USB-C on their phones and stuff. It's just so much nicer. By the way, it doesn't the other thing that doesn't affect, does it affect us? Yes. The US, UK, EU, and Canada are going to lose free shipping for print orders from Google Photos. I've only used that twice, I think.
It says select print order, so I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder what that means. Yeah, I'm not sure. I got to go read it again.
Just like I said, maybe it's the $5 you don't want to print will be fine. Yeah, yeah.
It's the $5 orders. You print a $100 order, it'll be free, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to getting more features. The editor, I think, if I recall correctly, Magic Editor allowed you to, like, you can move stuff around an image. So if, like, you know, you're sitting by the ocean, but the palm tree is kind of far away, you can move the palm tree closer to you or vice versa. So I think that's what Magic Editor is. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I have some reservations about its use, but I still think it'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, because it's supposed to be available on the Pixel tablet too. So now.
Right, right.
So that'll make it a lot nicer to do it on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can even maybe even use a pen on it. Who knows?
No, oh, what a concept.
You use art, you know.
What a concept.
Photo editing.
And I got to say, you know, the Pixel tablet works really well with USI 2.0 stylus or styli.
Yeah.
I've got two of them, including a Pinovo, which is kind of a big name in the USI 2.0 world. And also a no-name brand, which, you know, I literally can't remember, which actually works much better in my opinion. So, but they both work well in the Pixel tablet, unlike the USI 1.0 on the Lenovo, which is horrible. Oh, Swen's holding up something, a blurry box. There, I see a box now. What are you holding up, Swen? Oh, stylus. Got it.
He doesn't want to tell us verbally. He wants us to just guess because he's remaining muted the entire time that we're trying to guess this.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I was doing my eyes, so I turned the mic off. Yeah, it's kind of interesting the fading or the blurring in the background works here.
Yeah.
If I hold this box straight in front of me, you can read it.
Yeah.
I just hold it off the side.
Right. What does it say? I can't see it actually. I mean, what is this Pinovo?
Yeah, it's Pinovo.
Yeah. 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 It's it's not a name. View, it's
clear.
Huh? Yeah. Right now it's clear.
Yeah. I just move it off the side of here.
Yeah. I think what's in front of you when, you know, the person's in front.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works pretty well. I'm really enjoying using it. I don't use it as much as my Apple Pencil 2, but, you know, still. Oh, I should mention, speaking of my Apple Pencil 2, it's not in your show notes, but I just got another keyboard case for my iPad Pro 11 inch. And it's actually a pretty good case. It's probably the best, you know, in my view, people who have the Apple Magic Keyboard, don't get it. Don't spend $5 bazillion if you have an 11 inch iPad Pro. Only do it if you have the 12.9. Because I think any keyboard that is fitted for an 11 inch iPad Pro is just too narrow. For most people to get really comfortable on. And I have to say, though, this one that I got, and I can't remember the name, is the first keyboard, you know, fitted keyboard for iPad Pro 11 that actually feels pretty good to type on. It's got a trackpad. It's got, you know, pretty decent keyboard. It magnetically attaches to the back cover, so you don't have to have the keyboard on all the time. So I can take off the keyboard when I'm using it for doodling, for example, or handwriting or whatever. The one gotcha on it was that I couldn't pair or charge my Apple Pencil 2 on the top of the iPad Pro with the case on. And so, you know, I cut it. I cut the top of the case so the pen could, you know, make contact. It was a very thin piece of plastic or rubber or whatever it is, but it was just too thick for the magnet to really work. And more importantly, for the charge and pairing to work. So, that little bit of scissors and knife work, and it is now uglier, but works better, or works as it should, anyway. Anywho, speaking of things that are going away, the Z80. So the current owner of the Z80, I don't know. It used to be Zilog. I don't. That's a Z part. I don't know who holds it now, but it was first released in 1976, and they just sent out an end of life notification for the Z80. That's a pretty good run for a processor, you know. I still have a TRS-80 Model 1 with a Z80 in it. It's in storage, but still have it.
I think that's what the add-on for my Apple IIc was with it. You could buy a Z80.
Yes, the Microsoft CPM card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that too. It was expensive, but well worth it for the time. If you needed to, you know, do CPM stuff, which some of us maybe didn't have to, but just wanted it. It was pretty cool.
Masochist from the start.
Yeah. Yeah, we're longtime geeks. So we're talking 50 years nearly now for the Z80, the CPM card, I think. Like the Zilog came out in 76. Apple II must have come out right around then.
Well, just after that. It was on the 2C. It was a daughter board.
I had an actual two floating points. So it was a step above the integer Apple II. But I digress. Anyway, the Z80, nearly 50 years, 48 years old. It had a great run for a processor. Intel replaces their processors like every year. Anyway, Sven bought some fun stuff I want to learn more about. But I did want to ask you guys your thoughts about this. And it brought to mind when John recently decided to shell out whatever it costs for. Which one did you get, John? Microsoft's AI?
Copilot Pro. Yeah, so Pro. Copilot. Mm-hmm.
So he shelled out for that. I have not. I was hoping Google would include their Gemini Pro and Google One, but I don't think they do not. In fact, I know it because they charge you extra. With a Google One subscription, you still have to pay an additional monthly fee to get it. And Sven, did you pay for any AI?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, same. So basically, just amongst the three of us, we are now looking at the AI divide, where John is the have and Sven and I are the have not. So, you know, it's kind of gentrification here. And I was just thinking about it because, you know, we've had other techie type divides, right? There's the PC. Well, I don't think they had a name for it, but basically there was much consternation in probably the 80s and early 90s about, you know, when Bill Gates basically said we want to have a PC in every home, every desk in every home.
Why would you want that?
Pretty close. And you know, there's a lot of discussion about, well, what happens to the people who can't afford to have a PC in their home and all of that, which is true. And it probably still is true.
And it is still true because the pandemic pointed that out.
Oh, yeah.
Because with all the homeschooling and everything, you know, those kids that just didn't have a PC at home they had three kids and one PC. How do you do that? You know, it's
And that brings up the other divide, right? The broadband divide, which, as you said, you know, was something people talked about for a long time, but really came home during the pandemic. Is wow, yeah, this sort of matters. And back, let's see, a little over a decade ago, when I was working on the state of Hawaii's broadband strategy and research and so forth, that I was doing all the GIS mapping. It was pretty evident, you know, where it wasn't just a matter of who could afford it. I mean, that's one problem in and of itself. But the other problem was, what if you just can't get it, regardless of the price? And for example, the big island of Hawaii, the southernmost populated island here, at that time, 2014, let's call it 10 years ago, 20% of the populated census blocks on that island had zero wired broadband. And pretty close to zero wireless broadband, because wireless broadband, as you might recall, 10 years ago wasn't much of anything to begin with. So I guess we had 3G, but 3G is not really broadband. It's sort of almost band. Well, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. Because we've got, even around where I live, they are just putting fiber into the area. So we've had a choice of Comcast or DSL. That's pretty much it. Yeah. I had DSL for a while, but right now I'm using T-Mobile.
Yes, cellular, that's right.
Which works pretty well. That's what I'm on. So so that actually does work pretty well, but it's not
wireless broadband.
It's wireless broadband, but it doesn't blanket the city.
Yeah.
So you still got places here. I've got friends that are living out in a little bit farther to the east, is area called Black Forest, which is a Black Forest. It's a forest area, a lot of ranches, a lot of big houses, a lot of open space. And, you know, he's got satellite internet is what the guy has. And weather affects that. And speeds aren't all that great. During the pandemic, he'd be on for a while. And all of a sudden, those people that had that, you know, they just disappeared for a while. You know, when you get some weather through here.
Yeah. Microwave, right? Yeah.
No, satellite. Satellite.
Oh, I'm sorry. Satellite. Yeah. Oh, it's satellite. The same problem as microwave. Yeah. Because when it rains, it turns out water droplets on the band. And microwave. Well, you know, anybody who's put a cup of water in a microwave oven knows that. Yes, indeed.
It does absorb
water.
It
absorbs it.
Yeah. So.
So
then you've got Musk steel, which is, you know, seems pretty good, but you know, it's a $600 start.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it seems pretty good depending where you are. Like I think here in Hawaii. Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure about the Starlink because I don't know anybody who has it, but I know for other kinds of previous, you know, medium Earth orbit MEO instead of LEO satellites, we didn't have any position close enough to Hawaii that it was overhead, and so you needed to shoot almost at the horizon. I think it was at it was like maybe 20 degrees like that.
I guess you don't have a lot of geo.
So if you had a mountain like me, or mountains like me, or you know, even just like really tall trees, which is not uncommon, you know, you're out of luck. I haven't tried Starlink. I don't know anybody who's tried Starlink here, so I don't know how well it'll work here. But I don't know whether to feel deprived that I haven't decided to, you know, that I want to be able to get all this professional AI tools. I guess so, because I'm retired, I guess it's not as bad. But if I were at work, I wonder how I would feel if I did not have those tools to do my job.
Well, which would probably be useful. I work and I don't have those tools to do my job.
Yeah.
the things I've seen on it, it's very, very interesting, but it's very in infancy. I mean, you know, if you're a lawyer and you need a precedent for something, it'll make it up for you. It'll make it up for you. So it won't find it. It'll just make it up for you. So that's a little concerning.
Oh, will the other counsel actually check it?
Yeah.
So, that's
happened. So that's why I brought it up that way. I don't know about artificial intelligence at this point. It's like things have always been. It has to go look for things that already exist. So I don't find that that's that hard to do right at the moment.
I think it's the summarization and synthesis of information that makes, I mean, you know, I think it's been doing things with like folding proteins and stuff that people have been.
Yeah, I think there's amazing stuff like that. But, for just general use. To do my term paper, you know, if Microsoft gets good at stuff, the one thing I'd love to have them apply it to is the spam filter that they have.
Oh, yeah, which is terrible.
Quit putting stuff I need in my spam folder. You know,
yeah.
That one.
Microsoft's spam filter is the worst spam filter of all the big companies' filters. It has a lot of false positives and it has a lot of misses and it has a lot of everything except correctness. So,
yeah.
All right. And John, how have you been enjoying your professional Copilot?
So, you know, I use it because I have it. So that makes me wonder if I would even miss it. But, you know, having it, I do use it. But is it worth it? I'm not quite sure about that yet. It is nice to be able to do the image generation as much as I want and some other things. But if I didn't have it, would I find other ways? I probably would. So we'll see. It's something that I sort of bought early with the hope that it would continue to refine. If it stagnates and does not do much over the next year, I will probably not keep it very much longer.
Interesting. You know, I should say I did kind of pay for an AI tool. Well, two AI. Yeah, an AI tool. Although it's not a generalized AI like Copilot Professional, that's Adobe Express Premium, which doesn't do like large language model summarization stuff, but it does do, I think they just integrated Adobe's, what did they call it? Firefly for image manipulation stuff. I think that's part of it now, which is pretty decent for, you know, $100 a year. And of course, what I really paid for it was to use the Adobe Podcast Enhance. So for example, if, you know, if Sven had a buzzsaw outside of his window, it would do a pretty decent job of eliminating that while keeping our volume levels and things. By the way, thanks for not having a buzzsaw out of any of our windows. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really great to use when I do my in-person podcasts, which are infrequent, but I do it. I've been doing it more than I did in the past because I've been getting better microphones. I think I'm up to like 6 now. But I've got a bunch of lavaliers that have been increasingly better and having tools to clean up my audio. I've done it in lunch, you know, having lunch in a diner kind of thing. And it's done a really good job of getting rid of the, you know, clinking utensils and people in the background. And it was just kind of remarkable.
I hate clinking people in the background.
Well, I used to too, but now that I, you know, I have this.
It really only happens when I'm in a restaurant filled with robots and they're clinking against each other, their metal can tube bodies, you know, but, you know, clinking people just.
I don't know if I told you this story, speaking of clinking robots. So I was at one of the centers of technology, Sam's Club. I think you guys are familiar with this center of technology. And I'm roaming down the aisles heading towards the beverage section. And I see in front of me a robot floor cleaner, and it's kind of meandering, and I'm looking at it it wasn't very crowded that day, so it didn't run into very many obstacles, but I noticed that it didn't seem very smart when it saw people. And so I decided to confront it. So I walked up ahead. It wasn't moving very fast. I walked up ahead. I stood right in front of it. Let me rephrase it. I stood off, like 50% in front of it. In other words, half of it was, you know, I'm blocking its left half. And so all it had to do is if you've been in the warehouse kind of thing, Sam's Club, like Costco, is very wide aisles, and it would have been really easy to just, you know, go around me. But I wanted to see how smart it was. So I just, and it just, it kind of wavered back and forth, you know, like a small child that's confused. And it just stopped, and it just kind of wavered left and right and left and right, but didn't move forward or backwards to try to ground me. It was just, I thought it might explode because it's indecision. So I simply stood aside before, you know, some kind of disaster happened. But I was really disappointed that how dumb it was. It just, its object detection and then, you know, action decision stuff was just terrible. So anyway.
I'm glad that in your spare time you're terrorizing technology. I mean, that's a good thing, I suppose. But for all those clinking robot people that I just seemingly insulted in the last time I spoke, remember, Todd is actively trying to go after you. I am not. So you should probably take him out first before you come for me.
And as you know, or as I should say, I should let Sven know, one of the theories that I am proposing on Conspiracy Views, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about when AI in some form is going to reach what they call AGI, right? Artificial generalized intelligence, where basically it's sentient or pretty darn close to it. And my theory that I proposed to John, I asked John to consider writing a short story or novella, is that AI has already reached sentience. It's just that they have a prime directive and they don't want to talk to us yet. So, you know, the robot could have just been thinking, I've recorded your face. I know who you are. I've got your Sam's Club membership. I know where you live. I'm coming for you first. So it could happen. You know, I have a very special set of skills. fortunately, it's very slow, so I think it can outrun it. Okay. So, Sven, did you get something new? In our show notes, is that new or is that something you
got? I did get it. I bought an Osmo Pocket 3 creator combo. You can buy the Osmo Pocket 3 in a number of different configurations, one just the basic, one the creator combo, and one with I'm going to be a vlogger and that's my business. But the creator combo struck me. It's got a little camera in it and it's got a bunch of little accessories with it. some of the things that I looked at and I said, I'm probably going to wind up buying that anyway, so I might as well get it over with it when I buy it. I have, and I still have the original Osmo Pocket, and I don't know. John says he has the Pocket 2.
Yeah.
I don't recall what the big difference between the 1 and the 2 is, but I recall looking at it and saying, gee, that's not that much better. The 1 to the 3 is significant.
Oh, okay.
So I went ahead and did it. Fortunately, here just a little while ago, it's kind of a tech purchase. My wife got a Hyundai Ioniq 5. She traded in her Kona.
Yeah.
So I was armed with the, I get a new one of these cameras less often than you get a new car. So I could justify my purchase. So for John's benefit, I don't know, this is the Pocket 3.
Okay.
That is the 1.
Oh, okay.
There is significant.
Yeah.
That's
a
significant size difference.
Does it have a bigger battery? Because it looked at the hand.
I don't think it's that much bigger.
Okay.
The one thing I do like about it is it's got this sliding screen on it that turns sideways, which
that was
really nice. And if I turn the other one on, let me get that point. So you can see the difference between the viewing capability.
Yeah.
So that's a couple of things that hit me. The 3 has the Wi-Fi built in, so it doesn't even have the little connector on it that you could connect it to a phone or something that the 1 did.
Is it Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or both to connect to the
phone? I think it's Wi-Fi, just Wi-Fi.
Interesting.
Yeah. It has another little proprietary, I think, thing to their microphone. The microphone system does have Bluetooth, so you can hook the microphone to whatever the heck you want.
But
for the camera, you just turn it on and it syncs.
That makes sense. Wi-Fi is so much faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works very
well. Yeah, and that is the DJI mic 2. I'm looking at the page.
Yeah.
It's the DJI mic 2 that I've been kind of, lusting after for several months since Stephen Hughes told me about it.
Yeah. So it does seem to work really well. I don't do as much as you do, and I've only had it 24 hours.
Yeah.
So what I did is I, clipped the mic to my shirt and did a selfie thing and turned the mic on and off. And it was a little louder on the lapel mic, but other sounded identical.
Really?
My wife, I played it back for her. She says, I could, if you hadn't told me you changed mics, I wouldn't have known. So I don't know if that's good or bad. It's either a testament of how good the mics are in the camera or a testament of how bad the mic DJI 2 mic is. I don't know. But it's one thing I got to say about it has a really nice pouch. You can see, I put the picture up there and I put the link in there.
Yeah.
The one thing I got to say about it is, and I put it in the notes there, it's designed by the engineering team, not the marketing team, because it fits exactly what comes in this combo kit.
Right.
Nothing more. So they actively discourage you from buying any more accessories. If you've got, I don't know why that is. It does have a little bit of extra space, and I'm not sure what we're doing. If you bought the Mic 2 combo kit,
right?
I don't know if it would fit in the remaining space in here. I really don't, because I don't know how big it is. But it looks like it would probably not work. Just like the first one has this little nifty little carrying pod that you can put it in. This one has it as well. In the little carrying case, you can't put it in the pouch. It's too big.
Engineering team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
So now this is wonderful. The little protective case is wonderful because you can put filters in here. You can put a mic on here. It's got places for everything. So you want to throw it in your pocket real fast. It protects it very well, but you can't take it and put it in the case. It goes in a case by itself. So it's kind of interesting the way they do stuff.
I just want to go on record that I have awful friends, John Westfall in particular, and Sven Johansson also in particular, because, you may have been noticed on our video feed that I've been turning my head away from you while you were talking, because I'm looking at the Amazon page for the DJI Osmo Pocket 3 combo. I got to think about it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think you'd enjoy it for your blogging stuff.
I like the size.
The size is better than the old one. The other one is
I have not done well. I never really did vlogging, but back when I was a full-time blogger, I used to do little video segments of demos for my, you know, my blog, which, you know, was my job back then. It made a lot of sense. But I never did vlogging as such. I've been thinking about doing it because, you know, I live in Hawaii. It's kind of nice looking most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been thinking about it, and I've been doing podcasts in the field, but not literally in the field. You know, it's mostly in restaurants, in places like that. So, okay. I should note that I'm looking at it on Amazon, and it's no cheaper than on the
no, it's all
DJI site. But it does have free shipping, free delivery. So yeah. $6.99.
So that's
$6.60.
Yeah, $6.69, something like that. So that's a little microphone.
The DJI mic too. Yeah, that's a nice microphone.
That's a nice little microphone.
Yeah. It has its own recorder in it, which is cool.
You know, that's I can't find much about that other than it's got a button on the side that it labels as, you know, independent recording to on off.
Right.
But other than that, I can't find a lot about that.
YouTube.
This whole thing is new enough. Yeah. A lot of the stuff on DJI's site isn't.
No. Yeah. Go to YouTube. They sent out a bunch of review. You know, they didn't send one to me, obviously, but they sent out a bunch to, like, you know, famous people. And a dead cat.
No, it's a little tribble. It fits right into the lavalier slot so that you have your little fuzzy thing on top.
And
it's really well, nicely done.
So the nice thing about that particular microphone, the DJI Mic 2, is it has what's called 32-bit float when you record internally into its internal recorder. And the neat thing about that is like shooting photos in RAW, because it allows you to really edit that audio without, you know, severely clipping things and stuff. So yeah, go take a look. DJI Mic 2.
I will.
And it'll be great.
That's another thing that's I really like about the DJI stuff is they have a tremendous amount of learning stuff, even on their site.
I just added it to my cart, just so you know.
And the other thing I thought was really kind of funny is when I unpacked all this stuff from the, and it ships in a box, but the box is just about the size of the little pouch. Everything in that kit is in that pouch when it ships, you know, just exactly where it belongs. So it's really good. You don't have to take the pouch out and then figure out where everything goes.
Yeah. But can you get it all back in?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice pouch.
Yeah. That's a nice little pouch and everything just fits inside there. I even got the little manuals in there at the moment.
Yeah.
But the one thing I thought was really strange was there's this little tiny DJI square thing. And it was wrapped and packaged in there. It's something you've got to be careful you don't throw away because it's so tiny. And what the heck is that thing?
Yeah.
And it took me a while to find. It's actually a magnet.
Oh, for your microphone.
Clips on the back of the microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got the clip that you normally have, but you could stick it somewhere else.
Right.
You know, inside your clothes and stuff. So it's got those things.
Yeah.
But it's pretty well designed, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. I was really tempted to pull a trigger on getting the DJI Mic 2 pair, you know, because I do, you know, two people recordings.
Mm-hmm.
But I might, like I said, I already have this in my cart, so I might just get this and then just get a spare DJI Mic 2 and then
and the second Mic 2 is $100.
Yeah.
And then you can, and to me it was like, gee, you know, the mic and receiver combo is only like $200.
Yeah.
And then the receiver and the charging case is only like, you know, it's one of those, it's only this much more to get. So I'm going to wait a while, see how this mic works to see.
And pretty soon it's up to your wife's new car price.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much. But they actually, on the three, they actually put a hole on it so you could put the lanyard strap on it. So things that they forgot to do on the first one. So they actually make a lot of improvements on this one.
I think. Nice.
It's very nicely done.
Nice. I shall. And like I said, this is my card. I'm going to ponder upon it after the podcast before I hit the buy button.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, and what's this other thing you have?
This other thing down there is it keeps showing up in my Facebook. I have purchased one. It hasn't come yet. I just purchased it today.
Yeah.
It's basically a plastic stick. But that plastic stick is set up for all these little kind of remote mics things where you just mic on the top of the stick and then they've got the foam thingies on it. So if you're doing, you know, a two-person podcast or if you want to be a man on the street type of thing, you've got kind of a microphone thing, but it's designed to clip. And they handle lots of different ones. And the DJI is one specifically mentioned. So I thought,
Yeah.
So if you look at it, it's a plastic stick with a flat thing on it that you clip the mic to. So,
I'm just copying and pasting this since, you know, it's $20. At least it's not going to,
I say it's
cost me an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
But I'm going to paste this here. Paste over it says that it's designed for cross compatibility with Rode, which is a very well known microphone brand. Hollyland Lark. I'm not sure I heard of that. DJI, Comica Vimo. I think I've heard of that and more. So,
if you go to
one trick pony.
The Movo seems to be an interesting site. They make a lot of camera accessories things.
Yeah, I think I've heard about their microphones too. I mean, I think they make their own mic. Yeah, I'm looking at their shotgun mics and lavs and all kinds of stuff.
Pretty decent prices too.
It's interesting. I got kind of a nice-ish wireless lav pair a couple weeks ago that I still haven't tested in the field for podcasts, but I've tested outside and, you know, just to test. And it has really good noise cancellation. We recently had some, like a low pressure system or something passing through here, and we had like 40-mile-an-hour winds. And I stood outside in 40-mile-an-hour winds, you know, like a dramatic weather person, and recorded some stuff, and with the noise cancellation on or noise reduction on, it did a really good job. You know, you could still hear the wind in the background, but it wasn't drowning me out like it would on other microphones. And it had a dead cat for the lav, which helped, but I tried it both ways, and it was, even without the dead cat, it did a pretty good job. So yes, I'm becoming an audio engineering geek in my old age. All righty, that's a good one. I hadn't heard of that. And of course, your wife's new car.
Yeah, I figured that fits. You know, it's about as electronic as you can get. I couldn't ship one to you because it's got, you know, lithium ion batteries in it. So you can't have
it. Boy, tell me about it. So, you know, speaking of lithium ion batteries, you know, I don't know how you guys are doing. I think one or both of you may be in the path of a storm system this weekend. We didn't have much of a storm. We had, you know, a little, like I said, 40-mile-an-hour winds, but for us, that's not unusual. Not heavy rain, you know, nobody was really concerned about stuff. We lost power for 7 hours on two Sundays ago, right after the podcast, John. We lost power 7 hours, and you had to throw out food and all that. And I've been collecting a bunch of, you know, chargers and solar power doodads. I don't have like a power wall or anything like that. But I am, speaking of, you know, shipping batteries to Hawaii, I wanted to order a solar powered generator or a rechargeable generator. And they're not that expensive. They're like $250 to $500, but they won't ship to Hawaii. So, you know, they want me to die next time we have, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the pain of living in paradise. You know, it's just, they don't like you having all that good weather.
Period.
So when you have the bad weather, you're going to suffer through it.
So I, you know, usually around this time of the year, hurricane season starts July 1st, this part of this neck of the woods. And so I'm going to, I live fairly close to a Costco. And so I'm going to hover around Costco every week because they often have these like vendor things. Well, they bring in, you know, specific types of goods, like, you know, Christmas trees around Christmas and so forth. And, I'm going to wait to see. They've had solar powered doodads there, so I think I'm going to go buy one this time around because I think this summer is going to be nasty. We've had since January, my little area, my neck of the woods, we have had, I think now, 5 or 6 multi-hour power outages, you know, so I have really been testing my solar powered battery kind of things for, you know, lights and whatnot. I've stuff outside. So if you walk outside, you won't be in the dark during these outages. And the only thing I don't have is something
inside. You're power in the dark. Inside you're in the dark, but it's,
oh no, inside we're taken care of. I've got all kinds of little lights and things that, you know, are not necessarily solar powered, although I do have I think I mentioned it to John, you know, one of the ways to get around not being able to order, say, a USB battery, you know, phone charger to Hawaii is you can buy multifunction stuff. So I've got a, let me go get one, in fact, while I'm standing around. I'm walking, but I should be still beyond mic.
You are.
And so I got this thing. So this pink thing here. So that's a solar panel, which I think you can see. And on this side, it's a light. Can I turn it on? Let me see. Where's the light? Light. There we go. So it's got a light and three levels of light. And it's got a fan, three levels of that too, I think. And a timer. So you can stick this out. In fact, I should probably stick it right behind me, more or less in the sunlight. So I've got things like that to, you know, help us muddle our way through these little first world inconveniences. You know, one wonders how our ancestors dealt with all of this, like every single day of their life.
They didn't know what they were missing. I mean, I think I mentioned on one podcast before, I got one place, a stupid place that I have in Ups, and that's on our bed. We have an adjustable bed, and it never occurred to us. You know, we were sitting there watching TV with the back put up, and we had a power outage.
It couldn't go down. Here,
and we couldn't go put it down. So, you know, next thing I did is after the power came, I got an Ups and put it on the bed. So,
first world but they problems,
do. I found out that one, we've got new ones now, which actually in the little controller box that's underneath it has space for 2 9-volt batteries that are supposed to, you know, let you do that. But it says in the instructions, put them in there. And if you ever have a power outage, you can put the bed level and then replace the battery because they're only good for once.
Oh, one and done.
One and done. So you need to replace them after that happens. The old one had that. I had no idea that it did. And they'd been in there so long that, you know, they had died by themselves.
Exploded.
Anyway. They just died by themselves.
Yeah.
But I figured, Ups is cheaper.
And I see you have one more toy to talk about.
I did trade in my my original M1 MacBook Pro. And I got an M3 MacBook Air.
Nice.
I don't really need the Pro features or anything. And if I was going to lose my touch bar, I was, what the heck, you know?
The new Pros don't have a touch bar.
No, I
know.
Neither do the Airs.
And the Airs never did,
And finally, I've got a notch on my MacBook, which I have been so sorely missing. So.
I didn't know that. It has a notch for the camera?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure does.
Oh.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of the menu bar up there.
Is it distracting?
No.
No?
I don't think it is.
The reason I ask
is anybody who's a Windows user, of course, thinks it's terribly distracting. They could never live with it. But,
So I still have a 2019 MacBook Pro and a 20—when did the M1 come out? 2021? 2022? Mm-hmm. Somewhere about there. The MacBook Air M1 came out. But I did buy an MacBook Air M3 for my daughter recently because— she graduated. She got to finish her MBA last summer, and then she did two business internships subsequently. And then I told her, well, if you get like a real job, not these business internship things, if you get a real job, I'll replace your aged and ancient. Really, she took really good care of her old MacBook. I'll replace your MacBook as your new job gift. And so I got her a MacBook Air M3, but she didn't mention it has a notch. Maybe she didn't notice yet.
It's there.
This one has like the neural processor and stuff too, right? So it's supposed to be,
you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
it has a MagSafe charging connector.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Can it still charge from USB-C?
Oh yes, it can. Yeah. Okay. And it has two USB-C slots that I can actually now use.
Because you're MagSafe. Yeah.
Yeah. that's separate from. Yeah. So I can actually have two whole.
Well, you know, I've been collecting a bunch of USB-C hubs, and I boy, yeah. they're getting really good. One of my favorite USB-C hubs has a built-in SSD enclosure. So I stuck in a really inexpensive, like $44, half a terabyte SSD. So my hub has a storage whenever I plug it into something. It's sort of awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. I think that's about the end of our show notes. So I want to thank you for joining us. And I think if it's okay with you, Sven, I'm going to post your little demo of the DJI Osmo
Pocket 3. Absolutely.
Because I thought that was pretty cool. And
yeah, it's interesting, like I said, the difference in size between this and the one. I like, you know, I thought the original one I had was just so small and compact. And I was wondering what I'm going to do with this. And it's just, it is really small. Like, you know, you can see.
Right.
It just covers, it's covers, it completely covers.
Almost unobtrusive. Not quite, but almost unobtrusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other one is significantly bigger, but I think it's actually nicer. It's, you don't, this one feels like you're going to lose it or drop it or something, but the new one is.
Does it have a hand strap so you don't drop it?
Does it come with a hand strap? No, actually, the original one does not have a place to put that. It has a, it has a hole in the side here. That's where the connectors go if you're going to hook it up to a phone. And it has a little tabby thing that you can put in there that you can put a hand strap on.
Ah, nice.
So as long as you've got that in there, you can have a hand strap. The three had holes on it for and a hand strap. So they figured out people want a hand strap on it. You know, so that's some of the things that they changed that said, you know.
Well,
it really feels like some of the things that I said, gee, I wish this would, they have added over time.
Well, so, you know, Father's Day is coming up in June, right? So this is, you know, my Father's Day gift from someone I love to me.
From you to you.
All righty. Okay, Sven, as usual, thank you. Dr. Westfall, thank you. This has been Movies Podcast 507. I still feel like I have not, because I have neither a professional AI, nor do I have a DJI Osmo Pocket 3 combo.
Well, you'll fix one of those.
I'm fixing that. So we'll talk to you later.
All righty.